As a journalist at NPR, people often ask me, do my stories get censored? The truth is, while I may fight with an editor who does not believe my idea is newsworthy or who doesn't want my sense of irony in a piece, I've never experienced egregious censorship. But a book published last spring has had me thinking about this a lot. It's called Into the Buzzsaw: Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press. The book contains essays by 18 journalists describing stories that were sanitized, delayed, axed. In some cases, the reporters were fired. The stories range from investigations of corporations to the tale of a massacre back in the Korean War. Christina Borgeson, the editor of the book, started the project after CBS let her go during her probe of the crash of TWA 800. She says the phrase "into the buzzsaw" relates to having a story killed.
It's a term that describes what it feels like emotionally and psychologically to have this experience. I'm telling you, when it happened to me at CBS, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that I was experiencing what I experienced.
I thought one of the most fascinating articles in Into the Buzzsaw was The Story No One Wanted to Hear,
yes.
Which was about what could be called a massacre during the Korean War, in which American soldiers killed large numbers of civilians and at the village of Nogunri. The article in your book is written by J. Robert Port, who was working for the AP at the time, and I gather is now at the Daily News?
Yes, he is.
And his story eventually won a Pulitzer and a Polk award for the story.
Yep.
And he talks in his article, I guess, about how the entire investigative unit was eviscerated and destroyed, and the story, even though it did win awards, was constantly rewritten.
Right. That's the thing about the buzzsaw, is you never know when you're going to run into it. I mean, he was assigned by his boss to look into this. And I'm sure his boss, when he assigned him to do it, wasn't thinking, oh, gee, you know, this is going to get us in trouble. On the contrary. But they started getting the phone calls from you know, the military, who did not want this to be exposed. And that's when the trouble began. And that's when his boss started having second thoughts. Eventually, I mean, I don't know how many versions of the story they wrote and rewrote, because the editor was so nervous about it, and then he finally left.
But, you know, after I read the essay, and it was, you know, very compelling, I started looking at some of the news stories about Nogunri and the fact that at least one of the veterans later acknowledged that his recollections were confused and he had not been at the scene. And I guess it made me think that there can be real and serious differences among editors about what's valuable, what's right, what you can go with, what in fact has a number of sources. Now, the judges in this case, the Pulitzer and the Polk judges, knew about these differences, and they said later that other sources had confirmed the story. But I, you know, the more I read about it after reading the essay in your book, I began to think that it was a little more complex than Port's essay had presented.
You're absolutely right. One veteran who comes back and says, well, maybe my recollection wasn't 100%, does not destroy a story. I mean, to be comfortable with putting out an essay like this, you have to have spoken to many, many sources, and there was documentation.
Now, there's another essay in your book, Into the Buzzsaw, that's called, it's sort of about what happened to the muckrakers. And it sort of, you know, kind of says, you know, where are all the muckrakers? Think of Upton Sinclair, think of, you know, all the people that we read in journalism school, and now they're really, these people don't exist anymore. Do you think that's true, first of all?
Well, I think there are muckrakers, some muckrakers exist. I mean, if you want to talk about Band-Aids and salads, or even 48 Hours on Crack Street, how drug dealers operate, you want to cover, again, below a level, a certain level of power, you can muckrake all you want. It's when you look at, I mean, if you look at this book, for example, Bob Port's Nogunri story, that's about the military not wanting you to know about past horrendous behavior. There is a series of three essays on the CIA, one of them by Mike Levine, former DEA agent, who talks about how he almost lost his life trying to bust a big drug lord who was being protected by the CIA.
But, okay. You know, when we look at some of those essays. And I mean, I found many of them incredibly compelling. But, you know, when I read, for example, some of the drug stories, including Gary Webb's, and you know, and I look at that stuff and I say, you know, there's something there, but I'm not sure what it is, you know? Well, I'm not, you know, there's a lot of stuff that hasn't been completely sourced factually.
Mike Levine, he lived his experience. Okay, he was right there on the front line. That is a first-person story. If you want to see John Kelly's stuff, he'll be happy to send it to you. But be prepared to receive a few boxes of information.
Now, okay. Now getting back to the
Gary Webb, his was on the internet. All his supporting documentation was on the internet for the whole wide world to see.
Now, I can understand why an executive at a network would be scared of running a lot of stories that would perhaps anger corporate underwriters, all of that kind of stuff. But let's take an editor. Why, in your opinion, would the editors that you've come across, the editors that you've worked with that killed these stories, what's in it for them?
You know, a newspaper editor has the same problem that an executive producer does, as does the head of the news division at any of the networks. They're all owned by these giant corporations who are extremely conservative in terms of the information that they are willing to put out there about other corporations, about their own interests. I mean, that's another thing. If you really look at the various business interests of these corporations that own the networks, there are a lot of areas that are actually, you know, technically speaking, a conflict of interest for reporters for their reporters to look into. I mean, the whole tobacco thing, that the insider that the movie was based on, I mean, Tish had tobacco interests, you know?
What's your next story?
Oh, I don't know. This has been so exhausting, you know. I don't know. I hope it has to be something. I mean, this has been uplifting because it's making people think, and I hope it inspires you know people to get involved more in our democratic process and journalists to try a little harder to get behind the story, you know. So you know, I don't know what's next. I really don't.
I think that's a very good note to end on, actually. Thank you very much for letting us begin this discussion.
It's my pleasure, Margot.
Christina Borgeson spoke with us from New York. Her book is Into the Buzzsaw: Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press.